Please open your Bibles to Psalm 20. We'll continue our occasional study in the Psalms, the great prayer book, the praise manual for the church, and we come to Psalm 20. The inscription has for the choir director a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offering acceptable. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. We will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. Save, O Lord, may the King answer us in the day we call. Let us pray again. Father, we do delight to gather together to sing your praises, to remember what your word has instructed us about, to think your thoughts. And Father, we thank you for the Psalms. They are indeed medicine for our souls. They give great instruction in theology. And even we see in the New Testament, they're quoted so often by our Lord and the apostles. Father, I pray that you would encourage your saints here today, that you would lift up your people, that you would teach us to pray more earnestly, to have our eye of faith fixed upon you, and to truly have a love for the brethren. Father, we thank you for our church, and may you stir us up to excel still the more. We pray all of this for your name's sake, and that Christ would get the glory. Amen. Well, as we read Psalm 20, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. It's probably not in your maybe top 10 favorite Psalms. I've had the privilege to meditate on it for the past couple months, actually, and I'd like to focus on two main topics in Psalm 20. The first is we find in this psalm blessings, or the giving of blessings, or even prayers. We read, I believe, seven times, may the Lord do this, may the Lord do this, may the Lord do this for the King, the Anointed. And we're going to look at that as a blessing for one another, for the saints. Secondly, we're going to look at this boasting, this great boast that we read about, that we just sang about. We said, may God get the glory. We are boasting in our God. We are boasting in the name of the Lord. So our title is this, A Blessing and a Boast. A Blessing and a Boast from Psalm 20. Now, just a few preliminary points before we come to the passage. You may remember Psalm 18 that we covered last, because we did 19 before 18. But Psalm 18 had a theme, the Lord is my rock. We see that theme picked up immediately in verse 1 when he says, may God set you securely on high. There's this idea going back to Psalm 18 that the Lord is my rock. Remember the crag, the cliff, that God is our rock. And here the people are praying for their king that he would be set up on this rock, this high place. And then even in 19, at the end we see again 19:14, O Lord, my rock. So we see in 18, 19, and 20, this theme of the Lord, our rock, or being lifted up to be on the rock with God. And then even 21, 21 begins with, O Lord, in your strength the king will be glad. So we have these psalms connected. However they were gathered by the Holy Spirit, they were connected and had parallel themes between many of the psalms, and 20 and 21 especially go together. So as you read the psalms, you'll notice that they are gathered and collected in a way that brings and shows parallels. Also in the psalm, we see a theme of God's name. Three times, verse 1, the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. Verse 5, in the name of our God we will set up banners. Verse 7, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. So you'll see this theme going throughout this psalm. And then one more theme, and it will suggest an outline. It's the theme of salvation, or translated victories, or victory. Verse 5, we will sing for joy over your victory, or salvation. Verse 6, the Lord saves his anointed. This saving, or salvation. Verse 6, again at the end, the saving strength of his right hand. And then finally, verse 9, save, O Lord. So not only the theme of God's name, but the theme of God's salvation. And you could outline the psalm in this way. Verses 1 through 4, a prayer for salvation. Verse 5, the joy for salvation. Verse 6, the assurance of salvation. Verse 7 and 8, boasting in salvation. And verse 9, a prayer again for salvation. You'll notice verse 1 and 9 have this parallel that we see about the day of trouble. Verse 1, in the day of trouble. And verse 9, answer us in the day we call. So there's these two pillars, the beginning and end of a prayer for salvation. Now, this psalm is a little different because it's not addressing God directly. It's not saying, O Lord, do this, O Lord, do that. The psalmist is speaking and, as it were, praying in this form, may the Lord do this. It's like when we say, may God bless you. So that's why we're going to think a lot about giving a blessing to our fellow saints. So verse 1. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. And this you, it is singular throughout, pointing to most likely David, the anointed, or the kings that would follow, and ultimately to Christ. But David was the anointed. The king was the anointed king of Israel, and he was the representative of God's people. So blessing the king would benefit all of the covenant people of God. If we, as the Israelites said, bless our king, may the Lord answer you. Yes, the king would be benefited in battle, but the people would be benefited as well as they had to fight the other nations. And again, that's the perspective of the Israelites praying for their king. We have the perspective in the new covenant of having our Christ, the Lord Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah, and we pray for his kingdom, the church militant, not because we're fighting, not because we go to battle with swords, but because we have a spiritual warfare and we are praying for one another. And that's how we're going to apply a lot of these verses. So be thinking of the church, the brothers and sisters here in our body, that we might pray in a way that Israel did for their king. He talks about these troubles in the day of trouble. David had troubles. You could look through the historical books and see all the troubles that he had. He was in straits. He was in distress. He was afflicted. He was in anguish over and over. Many psalms reveal this, of the struggles that he had. Just like us, we have many troubles, many difficulties. Job 5:7, for man is born for trouble as sparks fly up. Has anyone had troubles this week? Have you had troubles this morning? If you haven't, you will. There are many troubles. And the Bible's honest. Even a man after God's own heart had troubles. So lesson one, if you're following along, and kids, I hope you fill in the blanks and come show me your notes afterwards. When the saints are in trouble, let us pray for God to answer them. When the saints are in trouble, let us pray for God to answer them. The Israelites prayed for their king. How much more in the new covenant do we pray for the saints? Oh Lord, help my brother at work. I know he's been struggling. Help my sister. I know her boss is difficult. Lord, help them. They're in trouble. Lift them up. Bless them. Lord, answer our cries for them. May our mouths be filled with blessings. We used to say, not we in this room probably, Godspeed. May God bless your path forward. May God be with you. May God prosper you. Now, we don't want to have these little phrases like when someone sneezes, God bless you. Frankly, I don't like that. I think it's become almost taking God's name in vain. But Godspeed. May God prosper you and be with you and bless you. This is how we can see and relate to our fellow saints, the covenant community. Our dear sister Terry always says to people, to us, may God bless you. May God be with you. Let us be known for our blessing of one another. What an encouragement we can be and how God can answer our prayers as we bestow and give and pray a blessing on our brothers and sisters. The Lord bless you. The Lord be with you. The Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Psalm 115 gives a similar blessing. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us be people that give these blessings. What does our Lord Jesus do even now? Luke says that he always lives to make intercession for us. If we're to be imitators of Christ, we would pray the same type of prayers. Lord, bless my brother. Lord, bless my sister. They're in trouble. Hear their cry. Help them. Even Jesus, before he departed, it said, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up to heaven. He left this earth blessing his people, and he went to the Father's right hand to pray and intercede for us. We need to do the same thing. We need to go through the directory. I applaud the young adults. They take one of our families each week and pray for us. We should all be doing that. Not only on Wednesday night, not only on Sunday, but through the day. Lord, bless my brother. I know he's struggling. Bless my sister. We can excel still the more and take it to the next level to pray for one another. He adds, they add further, may the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. Now this may sound odd to us, but the name of God, the name of the God of Jacob, this is all that God is, all the descriptions of his character. The name of God represents who he is, what he is like, and the God of Jacob points to his covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he has covenant faithfulness. We're praying for the people of God because of who God is and knowing who he is, and he is a covenant-keeping, faithful God. Great is his faithfulness. Lord, help my sister because you are faithful, because you keep covenant. Thinking back to when Jacob said, let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. Some point back that when we hear the God of Jacob, we could think of that verse in Genesis 35:3. the God who answered me in the day of my distress, the God of Jacob is a God who answers prayer. May this God set you securely on high, as we mentioned, set you in a place of inaccessibility, set you up on the crag when the enemies are seeking to destroy you. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. Lesson 2, based on this truth. When the saints need protection, let us pray that God would set them in a place of inaccessibility. Lord, my brother is so depressed. May you shelter him and take him to the heights of your love and mercy. Reveal your love and mercy to him, to her. Take him to that place of inaccessibility, though everyone's attacking, though the remaining sins are attacking. Lord, take them up and set them securely on high. What a prayer. What an opportunity to pray for your brothers and sisters when they are in trouble, based on God's character, on God's covenant, that he would set them up in this place of security. Do we pray for one another like that? We do. We can pray more. When the saints need protection, let us pray that God would set them in a place of inaccessibility. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runs into it, and they are safe. Lord, may you be their tower. May you protect them and comfort them. And did you notice in our English Bibles, verse 1 has 2 exclamation points. I love these. Does anyone like exclamation points? Remember our hermeneutic that we talk about? We've taught on hermeneutics before. Grammatical, historical, theological hermeneutics. Ask John if you have questions. I add to that not only grammatical, historical, theological, but exclamational. Because the whole Bible, and if I ever made a Bible, I might just put a big old exclamation point on the front. The Bible is exclamational. The Bible is not to be read like the newspaper ho-hum, by an IT technical manual, dry as dirt. The Bible's exclamational, and prayer should be exclamational. A loud complaint, a protest. If our prayers are all monotone like a robot, are we really praying like the psalmist did? We should pray passionate, exclamational prayers. And I love that the translators, and I don't know why they choose to do that and why they don't sometimes, I often put them all through my Bible, exclamation point. Here's one on this page. Here's one on this page. This verse, this chapter. The Bible is profound. Prayers ought to have this same profoundness. Well, verse 2. May God send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. David and all of God's people needed and need help. This succor, this furtherance, this protection. David, the king, and every king after him in Israel, and we, God's people, need this help. Send help from the sanctuary. Give support, give sustenance, aid, hold up, refresh. Does anyone need refreshment? We get tired, we get sleepless, we get vexed and depressed and sick. We need refreshed. Lord, may he send you help from the sanctuary. Literally from holiness. The holy place. This is the place where God met with his people in the tabernacle. God was present in Zion. And he's present in a special way with his church in the new covenant. Zion, remember, was a symbol of God's rule, his power, his presence. Send help from your very own presence, Lord. David needed it. We need it. And therefore, lesson 3, when the saints need help and support, let us pray God's blessings upon them. When the saints need help and support, let us pray God's blessings upon them. Lord, help my dear sister. She's vexed with chronic pain and sickness and misery. Lord, send her support from your very presence. Reveal your love and your faithfulness to her. Uplift her. This is how we ought to pray for the saints. Lord, uphold this saint in their weakness. They need support. They need help from your sanctuary, from your very presence. And thinking on this theme of the tabernacle, he goes to verse 3. May you, God, remember all your offerings and find your burnt offerings acceptable. And then we see a Selah, which of course means, well, we don't know for sure what it means. It can mean a pause, a musical instrumental piece in between. Could be a cymbal clash, crash, but a pause. I like the amplified pause and consider that. Pause and consider these meal offerings, these burnt offerings. Lord, may the Lord remember or take notice of your offerings. This is why we read the book of Leviticus, to know something about these offerings. For even kings had to deal with their sins. Even kings had to make offerings. First, the meal or cereal offerings. These were gifts or tributes, and the words in the Old Testament have a lot of overlap. It's hard to know which one is happening at which time, but they translated it meal, or in Leviticus 2, cereal offerings. This flour, oil, and frankincense that would be offered up. May God remember that offering. And then the second offering is the burnt offering, or whole burnt offerings. They had to offer these animals and their blood, which pointed to Christ, as the only way to be forgiven of sins. The king had to make, and he chose to make, these meal and burnt offerings. One author said these sacrifices were prayers incarnate. I like that idea. These sacrifices were prayers incarnate. They would offer the sacrifices. The priest would do all the regulations, and he would pour this and burn this, and sometimes it would burn all night till the fat was gone, and so forth and so on. Those sacrifices were like prayers ascending to God. An interesting way to think of sacrifices. The king had dealt with his sin, so may the Lord accept those offerings. May he remember them and accept them. Turn over to 1 Samuel 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, we'll see an incident like our passage where sacrifices were offered before warfare. 1 Samuel 7, 8 through 11. Then the sons of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And look how Samuel responds. They asked for prayer. Verse 9, Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Keep going. Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, and the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day against the Philistines and confused them so that they were routed before Israel. The men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them down as far as below Beth-kar. A perfect illustration of what Psalm 20 is praying about. these sacrifices before warfare, that God would accept them, the prayers, the sacrifices, that God would receive all of that for the good of, in their case, their king. Or in our case, for the saints. Now, of course, the blood of bulls, goats, birds, could they ever remove sin? No. Those sacrifices could never satisfy the wrath of God. But we have, of course, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So as a new covenant prayer for the kingdom of Christ, lesson 4, pray for God to bless the saints for Christ's sake. Pray for God to bless the saints for Christ's sake. He is the sacrifice. Lord, bless my brother who's laboring hard in sanctification for the sake of Christ. Christ has died for him. Lord, bless him. Bless her because Christ has died. That's our motive. And as we look to the sacrifice of Christ, Lord, see him. See Christ's sacrifice on behalf of my brother or my sister. So pray that God would bless your fellow saints in the name of Christ, for Christ's sake, the sacrifice. Not only that, he continues, verse 4. Again, these are all these blessings, these thoughts toward the saints. May he, verse 4, may he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel or your plan. Your heart's desire or your inner thoughts, your even secret requests to God. What's in your heart of hearts? And again, 21 gives a parallel in verse 2. You have given him, the king, his heart's desire, and you have not withheld the request of his lips. Lord, give him his heart's desire. Fulfill his counsel. And obviously, these are good and holy desires, not the sinful ones. It's not a blank check. Give him whatever he wants. It's the holy and good desires of the heart and of wise counsel and plans in our text for battle. So lesson 5 from this. Pray for God to grant the desires and the plans of his people. Pray for God to grant the desires and the plans of his people. Father, may you be pleased to grant these dear single saints godly spouses. They desire it, Lord. It's a good thing. You created it. May you give it to them. May you arrange it. Lord, your king has prepared. The army was trained. Lord, bless the counsel that the generals gave him. Give him his heart's desire for victory in battle. Do you care about the heart's desires of your fellow saints? Are we sensitive enough? Do we have love? Do we think about what does my brother and sister desire? Do we have a concern for one another? We ought to. And these Old Testament saints teach us how to pray for one another. Well, we transition to verse 5, this expectation. Verse 5, we will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. So he transitions from may your prayers be answered, may you be helped, may the Lord do this for you, to we will sing. We will sing for joy. Lesson 6. Sing for joy when the saints have victories. Yes, you should sing for joy when you have a victory, but you should also sing for joy over the victories of the saints. Lord, thank you for blessing your children, this couple with 20 years of marriage. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. Thank you for blessing my friend with the victory over a certain temptation. Do we rejoice over the victories, the blessings of others? We should pray for the blessings and then rejoice over those blessings. You could say it this way: if we share in a saint's jam or difficulty, let us share in their joy. If you're bearing their burden, when the burden's lifted, rejoice with them. Sing for joy to God. Remember what Paul said to the Romans? Rejoice with those who rejoice. If your brother or sister has something to thank God for and rejoice over, especially when you were praying for it, rejoice with them. Sometimes we're too self-centered. All we can see is what's happening to me. We need to look out to the saints. And how can I rejoice in what God is doing for them? What victories do they have? And further, not only rejoicing, but setting up these banners. A bit foreign to us, maybe. But banners were a sign of distinction, exaltation over the enemy. But here, these banners are a symbol of joy over the victory of the king and of God's people. For the king and for God's people. We see banners back in Numbers 2:2, banners of their father's households. Maybe the different tribes had banners they would put up after a victory. They committed not only to have joy in the victories of their fellow saints, but to set up these banners, banners of distinction. Lesson 7, let us fly banners when our brothers and sisters have victories. Sounds a bit odd to us, but it's figurative. We rejoice that our sister Bethany made it to Spokane, and she rejoiced in the Lord. We bowed on Wednesday night and we said, thank you, Lord, that you got our sister over to Spokane, safe and sound. We, in a way, put up a banner. We had joy in our hearts. Do you rejoice over the victories of others? So often, again, we're self-absorbed with our own struggles, with our own issues. Rejoice over the victories of others. Check your heart. Do you have a banner of jealousy, of murmuring, of silence, when you should be rejoicing with others and pouring out praise to the Lord for it? Run up God's flag. Let His banner of all that He's done for the saints be high in your hands. I love Psalm 70, verse 4. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in your salvation, and let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. When you see these victories, have joy, run up the banner, and magnify God with your brothers and sisters. And then he falls back on to a petition. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. He keeps going back to wanting to bless. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord do this for you. May the Lord hear your petitions. Yes, for the king of Israel, but yes, for the people of God. Fly banners when your brothers and sisters have victories. Do you do it? I know if you're a Christian, you do to some degree. Let's do it even more. Let's sing for joy when the saints have victories. Paul said, we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Praying always for the saints. And it's a privilege, is it not, when the saints tell you, I'm praying for you. I'm upholding you. You read the text. I've been praying for you this week. How you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? One Puritan said, oh, that there were not a saint on earth, but that I were by name in his morning and evening prayer. Paul said, pray for us. The Apostle Paul, not only in his preaching, but in their ministries. Don't you say to your fellow saints, pray for me. Yes, I'm praying for you. I will pray for you by name. What a blessing when the saints pray for us. If you can't do much, if you feel you can't serve the church much, you don't have much time, you don't have a lot of gifts to give, we all have the ability to pray for one another. And God does great things when we pray. Does He not? Hasn't He upheld you? How many saints have been praying for you all through the years? A faithful mother, a faithful father, a spouse, a friend, your fellow Christians. We stand on the prayers of others. Let us provide the framework for the lives of others by praying for them. Well, the psalmist has further assurance for the king, or maybe the king is speaking. Now I know, verse 6, that the Lord saves or gives victory to His anointed, the anointed king. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength. It's actually in the plurals, the saving strengths of His right hand. This is prayerful expectation, not presumptive laziness or indolence. It's prayerful expectation of God's blessing. Confident, expectant prayer. Now I know He will answer. The grammarians call this a prophetic perfect. Speaking and thinking as if it's already happened. Not presumption, but expectant prayer. Spurgeon said, earnest prayer frequently leads to assured confidence. As we pray earnestly and we're pleading with God, that does lead to assured confidence that He hears us. He will answer us. They prayed that God would save the king and that He would send aid from His holy heaven. And they were confident that God would aid His king, His child. That He would rescue the king or the saint by heroic deeds of salvation with His right hand, the saving strength of His right hand. Maybe it's in the plurals, the word strength, because God has so much of it. There's plenty of strength in God to save and help us. God is able, He is powerful to rescue, to help. Lesson 8. Expectant prayer is focused on God's transcendence and omnipotence. Is it not? Expectant prayer is focused on God's transcendence and omnipotence. Lord, You sit in heaven. You are in Your holy heaven, a place totally different, totally other. You are there, Lord. You will answer. That is power. That is transcendence and omnipotence. He's sitting on His throne. He has a mighty right hand. One person said, God does not give us left-handed support. The Bible has a right-handed bias. Most often it speaks of God's mighty right hand. The dominant hand, the strong arm of the Lord. Let us pray in such a way to lay hold of God's transcendence. He's our Father who art in heaven. But He's still our Father. He is not so far from us that He can't help us. He is high and lifted up in His holy heaven, and He has strength. Lord, You sit in heaven. See our brethren in prison in China, in Pakistan. And Lord, release them. Be with them. Rescue them. Alexander McLaren said, a whisper may start an avalanche. The prayer of the people has set or can set omnipotence in motion. A praying saint can see God do wonderful, mighty things because God is mighty. Even the whisper of a prayer, Lord, help. Help the saints. Help our church. Be near to us. Hear us from Your holy heaven and send Your arm to show Yourself mighty. Bear Your arm for us. When we pray, we need to remember who God is. He's mighty. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Which leads to verse 7, the boasting. So we had the blessings, and they'll still continue, but particularly now, the second part, the boast. Verse 7. Some boast or trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. Now, unless we have horse lovers here, I don't think anyone's riding chariots around Lakewood. But you get the point. In this day, chariots were the missiles. They were the massive tanks that we might think of today. They were the battle machines, the war machines. They were the most formidable force of battle in ancient times. They would have those spears coming out of the hubs that could mow down men. Against infantry on foot, you would seem helpless against horse-drawn chariots. But many boasted in those chariots. Many of their enemies boasted, "Look at my chariot army." It's like we heard of Iraq, that Iraq had the biggest tank army in all the world. It lasted about 2 days. I'm not saying God was necessarily, don't misunderstand. Someone can think they have this great army and strength of all these chariots. Look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh and his chariot coming down after the Israelites. What are even a billion chariots with horsemen compared to God? Nothing. Remember, Israel's king was forbidden to multiply horses, Deuteronomy 17, 17, so that they would not trust in them. And unfortunately, we'll see Solomon and the kings after did that very thing. And even David, at one battle, captured about, I think, 100 or so chariots. God did not want them to trust in strength, the strength of chariots. For the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Proverbs 21, 31. Or Psalm 33. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by a great strength. A horse is a false victory, false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope for His loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death. A boast, not in the strength of horses and chariots, but in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, remember, it's His character, it's His power, it's His dominion. And the Hebrew makes these last two words emphatic, in the name of the Lord, our God. He's our God, not just a God somewhere out there. He is our God. So lesson 9, let us resolve to confidently boast in the Lord who is our God. Let us boast. Let Pilgrim Bible Church, each of you, may you resolve to confidently boast in the Lord. He is your God. Lord, all the troubles that our church has seen for nearly 20 years, you've helped us through this, you helped us through that. Lord, you are our boast. How did you make it? The Lord sustained us. How did the Lord sustain you, saint, or other saints? By His power. Boast in the Lord your God. Lecrae said, boast in His reign. Do you boast in the reign of your God? I was thinking on the way here, the old Maranatha song, our God reigns. And it kept repeating that over and over. It's a great thing to repeat. Your Lord reigns. He's on His throne. Isn't that worthy of boasting? He's not some local geographical deity in the Middle East. He is our God, and He rules and reigns. He has power and dominion. So boast in Him. Boast in His reign. Boast in His power. He is your mighty warrior. He is, as my brother One of my old brothers used to say, He is the Lord God Almighty. Is that thinking and phraseology in our minds as we pray for others? Do we think of it as often as we should, that the Lord God Almighty is my God? He is our God. What is too difficult for Him? Nothing. It's like when David came to meet Goliath. You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. Yes, we are weak, but our God is mighty. What do you boast in? Do you boast in your strength, your achievements, your wisdom, your skills, or do you boast in God's skill, God's achievements, and God's strength? Spurgeon said, they seek for help out of the armory, or the treasury, or the pantry, but we turn to the sanctuary, where our God sits in holiness. We too often have low views of God, and our prayers reflect that. We need to, as John told us in Sunday school, remember who He is and boast in Him. You could write down 2 Chronicles 21, verses 7 and 8, where Hezekiah tells them, Be strong and courageous. Do not fear, be dismayed, because the one who's with us is greater than the one who's with them. Or Psalm 44, 6 and 7, I will not trust in my bow or my sword, but you have saved us from our adversaries. What do you boast in? Who do you trust in? Because the results of this battle, verse 8, they have bowed down and fallen. As we read also this morning, they from Isaiah, they are but grasshoppers. They thought they could mow down the people of God with their bladed chariots. God just spoke, and they were fallen on their faces. But the saints and the king were lifted up, risen, and stood upright. That's what God does for His people. And these Israelites were praying, May the Lord answer, may the Lord send, may the Lord help, may the Lord remember your offerings, may He grant you your heart's desire, may He fulfill your counsel. We will sing for joy. We will set up banners. We have confidence in His answer. We're going to boast in His name. And they stood upright. Then one final plea, verse 9. And remember, verse 1 began with answer in the day of trouble. Verse 9, answer us in the day. These two bookends, answering, answer the king, but now, save, O Lord, may the king answer us in the day we call. There is a note of earnestness, says one. Oh, when you see that word, oh, it's an exclamation. I put an exclamation. Kids, you can write in your Bibles. Adults too. Save, O Lord! It's exclamatory. Lesson 10, the last place. Though godly kings are a great blessing, which David was, and Solomon was in ways, and others were to a degree, though godly kings are a great blessing, we need an answer from the King of all creation. They've been praying for the king. Lord, help the king. Help the anointed one. Do this and do that. But verse 9, save, O Lord, and may the king answer us in the day that we call. O Lord, our King, help us. Help your church. Help your weak saints. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy right hand. Let us pray more pleadingly, more earnestly for the saints. And I, for one, appreciate that you pray for me, that you prayed for me today. I'm sure every one of us would say, thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying for me. I need help every day. I need the Lord's help. And my Lord Jesus prays for me, but so do His children. Our brothers and sisters pray for us. And may we, again, excel still the more in our earnest, affectionate, exclamatory prayers for one another, so that when the saints are in trouble, let us pray for God to answer them. When the saints need protection, let us pray that God would set them in a place of inaccessibility. When the saints need help and support, let us pray God's blessings upon them. Pray for God to bless the saints for Christ's sake. He died for them. He bought them. Pray for God to grant the desires and the plans of His people. Lord, you know their heart. Give it to them. You know their plans. Bless them. And then sing for joy when the saints have victories. Yes, sing for your own, but sing for the saints. If you don't have anything to sing for joy over, you can find it around you. And then let us fly banners when our brothers and sisters have those victories. Expectant prayers focused on God's transcendence and omnipotence. We have to get our minds so often out of this room and up to the very throne room of God, where God is in His holiness, and lay hold of His character and His power to do great things. He is willing. Let us resolve to confidently boast in the Lord, who is our God. Saints, believe it. Pray in such a way and know that He is your God. The God of the Bible is your God. And finally, we said, though godly kings are a great blessing, we need an answer from the King of all creation. Well, just one final comment. As I was walking this week, it was around dinner time, and I smelled all these different houses. Some were cooking Asian food, some were cooking Italian food. I'm just walking down the street, and I can smell all these beautiful aromas coming out of my neighbors' homes. I didn't knock on their doors, but I did think, what is the aroma of my life? What is the aroma of Pilgrim Bible Church? Are we, in part of our existence as individuals and as a body, are we blessing one another in, like they did in Psalm 20? Are we saying, may the Lord bless you? May the Lord hear your cries. And then are we rejoicing in the same way? Let that aroma of Psalm 20 be a picture of Pilgrim Bible Church, that God would get all the glory. Let us pray. Our Father, we revel in the fact that our Lord Jesus intercedes for us even now, because we are weak, troubled, vexed, confused. Lord, we are but dust. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for praying for us and teaching us that we can, should, and are enabled by the power of your Spirit to pray for one another. Lord, thank you for the prayers of the saints. Thank you for our friends that pray for us weekly, daily, through the years, unending. And Father, may we here at Pilgrim Bible Church continue not only at our prayer meeting, but Lord, day by day, may we remember the saints before your throne of grace, that they may find mercy to help in time of need. Lord, our needs abound. We see that our need corresponds to your omnipotence, your power, your transcendence. Lord, may our prayers be more passionate, exclamational. Father, give us great faith to lay hold of your character and your willingness to help your children. Lord God, thank you for Psalm 20. What a blessing to teach us how to bless one another and how to boast in your name. You are wonderful. You are the Lord God Almighty, and you are our God. All because of our Lord Jesus, we pray in his name. Amen.